Today's Shir is Masechta Babasra, Daf Kovches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kovches Amar Aleph at the Mishnah, the new Perek Yishnoichlam and Machilim. The Torah Akdosha speaks about the halachas of Yerusha. The Torah Akdosha says, Ish kiyumis, if a person passes away, or ben Eloi, and he doesn't have any sons, Vavartim as Nachlos Elabitoi, his daughter yashins him. Vim Eloi Bas, if he doesn't have a daughter, ben Asatis Nachlos Elabitoi. So the Torah says, we then give it to his brothers, Vim Eloi Achim, and if he doesn't have any brothers, Nesatim Nachlos Elachi Aviv, Vim Ein Achim Laviv, Nesata Es Nachlos Elasher, Karl of Mishpachta Vyarish Oisai. The Torah here spells out the halachas of the order of Yerusha, who is first and who is second, etc. And as we begin our perek, as we begin this part of the Masechta is going to focus on those halachas. What is the proper order of Yerusha? Says the Mishnah, Yesh Noichlim, there are people who yarshin their relatives when they pass away, or machilim, and they are also such individuals who, when they pass away, they are these relatives that we're going to be speaking about are those that inherit him. The Mefarshim point out, why does the Mishnah use this kind of language that to teach us that even though the Torah sets forth the halachas of Yerusha, but if a person wants to give a different order, then the Torah Mishnah is saying this is the order the Torah sets forth, but if done in a halachically permissible fashion, then there could be deviation from it. Says the Gemara, then there are individuals, Yesh Noichlim, Ve'eloi Machilim. There are those relatives that Yarshin, that are in the inheritors, but when the people who they're inheriting from, should these people die, they will not inherent from them. Then there are people who are manchilim. They are the people who give the Yerusha, v'loi noichlim, but never get Yerusha from these people. And then there are people who are loi noichlim, v'loi manchilim, that they're not people who yarshin or give or take. Of course, the Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah in this case is speaking about people who are relatives, to tell us about people who are not relatives altogether. There is no point in our Mishnah speaking about such a case, because if there's no relation, there's no Yerusha. Says the Mishnah, Ve'ela Noichlim Umachilim. First, the Mishnah identifies individuals who give Yerusha and receive Yerusha. Says the Mishnah, who are such individual? Ha'af as a bonim. A father, father yarshins for his children, v'abonim es av, and similarly, children yarshin their father. Of course, the Rishonim Taisus asked the question, if the Mishnah now is speaking about the case of Noichlim or Manchilim, that it goes in both directions, so once the Mishnah says av esbonim, if we're saying that these people are people that go in both directions, why was it necessary to repeat the next halacha? Because the Mishnah wanted it, the way the Mishnah to be understood is the Mishnah first is telling us the general rule, and after the Mishnah tells us the general rule, then the Mishnah wants to go into details. Achim and Av, if you have brothers that share the same father, the halach is that they yarshin at each other. These are all individual who are noichlim or manchilim. So if they share the same father, even though that's the only thing that counts, the Mishnah doesn't speak about uncles. And this is a very important point that the Mefarshim point out. As we're going to learn, under certain circumstances, primarily if somebody doesn't have any children, nor does he have father anymore, and he passes away, then the one that yashins him are his uncle. So why are they not mentioned in the Mishnah? And this opens up, as the Rashbam discusses, a very important discussion. And that is when brothers yarshin or uncles yarshin. How does the halacha look at it? Does the halacha look at it that there's an order in Yerusha, and children, as we're going to learn extensively in the Gemara, first come children, then come parents, then come brothers, then come the father's brothers. But the question is, when brothers or the father's brothers yarshin, are they direct yarshim just later in the list? Or does the halacha view them as mishmush? The word mishmush means that the father is supposed to yarshin, but if the father is not alive, so he is unable to yarshin, so his yarshim take over his spat. And if his yarshim take over his spat, so therefore the brothers are the children of the father who's not here to yarshin, that's why they take over. And the question here is, how do we look at their Yerusha? Do we look at their Yerusha as direct, as they're on the list, or are they mishmish? And the Panovich Rav says that the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, says that he has a raya that the Yerusha of a brother is direct, not through mishmish. Because the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Yara Goyel Hadam, if somebody murders somebody else, the Goyel Hadam of the victim is supposed to do what he can to pursue the murderer. Shenema Goyel Hadam Yomus Ritzayach. And now the Rambam continues, who exactly is a Goyel Hadam? Says the Rambam, V'kol HaRoyel Yerusha, anybody who's in the line of Yerusha, who Goyel Hadam? Says the Panovich Rav, that the Rambam certainly does not mean when he says somebody's royal Yerush, it's somebody's only Yerush through Mishmash, through because he's the Yerush of a Yerush. So from here, says the Rav, we have a raya that these people, that the brothers are direct Yerushim. And then there are those that suggest that that's only a halacha by brothers. But when we speak about uncles, uncles are yarshim through mishmash. So what is the nafkamina, the achronim want to know, if somebody is a yarish because he's in the line of Yerusha, or somebody is a yarish through mishmash? So the Sefer Oitzus Yeshua says, if the father was chayiv money, and then the father died, and one of the father's sons died, and now, since the son died, the son didn't have any children, his father's no longer alive. So now, as we said, his brothers are yarshim. But now the question is going to come up. If the brothers are direct yarshim of him, so then the money that the father owed is immaterial to this conversation, because the father never yarshimed. But if we say that the father was a yarish, just the brothers are yarshing from the father. So we know if somebody is a yarish of an individual, and the yarish, and the person who you are yarshing from owed money, it is the obligation of the estate to pay off those debts. So if his brothers are direct yarshim of his, the fact that the father owed money is immaterial. If, however, the halacha of Yerusha is that it goes from the father to the brothers. So if the father owed money, then the brothers would have to pay off the brothers would have to pay off that money. Another question that I saw the Paiskim say is that if this case that we just mentioned, he died and he left and he doesn't have children, he doesn't have a father, but the father had left a tzava that money that comes to him, even post his passing, should be divided or should be given out in a certain fashion. If we say that he is a direct Yorish. If we say that he's a direct Yorish, that the brothers are direct Yorishim, so any instructions the father gave about that money is immaterial to this conversation. But if we say that the brothers are Yorishim from the father, and then they take the money from the father, so whatever instructions the father left about any money that should come to him after he passes would still be relevant. Says the Mishnah further, Ve'ish es imay, a son yarshins his mother after she passes away, if she doesn't have a husband at the time of her death. Ve'ish es ishtoy, a husband yarshins his wife. And as we just explained, the halacha of a husband yarshining his wife supersedes anyone else. The husband comes first. That means if you have somebody that a brother and a sister that share the same father, Dina and Reuven share the same father. If Reuven passes away, that without having any sons or daughters, father or brothers or sisters, under that circumstance, his sisters from his father yarshin him, his sister's children from his father yarshin him, but he will never yarshin his sister or her sister's children. So nephews could yarshin an uncle, but an uncle in these circumstances through a sister would not yarshin his nephews. These are examples, says the Mishnah, of examples of noichlim v'loy menchilim. Ha'ishas b'nei, then there are situations that you could yarshin from somebody, but they never yarshin you. We have ha'isha es b'nei, a mother never yarshins her children. Ha'isha's baal, a wife, never yarshins her husband. Achi ha'aim, when we speak about achi ha'aim, menchilim v'loy noichlim. Here again, this is really what we just learned, the reverse side, that about the nieces, but the nephews can yarshim, but the uncle doesn't yarshim. And then, says the Mishnah of Achim and Aim, brothers who are only maternal brothers. So, as we're going to learn very extensively in our perek, Mishpachas Av Kori Mishpacha, your father's family is considered family. Mishpachas Aim, your mother's family is not considered family, and since they're not considered family, that's why the halacha is there's no Yerusha. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that even though it could be quite close relatives, but since the entire relationship is based on a maternal relationship, so we learn in our Mishnah anything that's based on a maternal relationship is not considered relationship for Yerusha. And the reason is because the Torah teaches us, and the Gemara is going to teach us this in Mitzvah Shem Adav Kuf Tes. The Pasuk says, L'mishpachosam, L'beis Avosam, to learn Mishpachas Av Kari Mishpacha, the Mishpachas Aim Ena Kari Mishpacha. The Torah teaches us that an Eved Ivri goes free at Yovel and he goes back to his family. The Gemara Masechta Matzia, that Ayin Aleph Amen Aleph teaches us from this Pasuk, that it's only possible to sell somebody as an Eved Ivri if he has Mishpacha relatives to whom he eventually returns by Yovel. But a Ger who has no family, Ger Shinaz Gai Kikotin Shinoile Bami, therefore cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri. But our Gemara says, the Mechilta says that it is possible to sell a Ger as an Eved Ivri. So the Gos Maimonides explains that the Mechilta doesn't mean that a Ger can become an Eved Ivri. It means that if the child of a Ger married a Bas Yisrael, so since he has Jewish relatives, so once he has Jewish relatives, we can fulfill the obligation of a Shav Mashpachtoi. The question is, those relatives are maternal relatives. And our Gemara says that Mishpachas Avkari Mishpacha, Mishpachas Aim, is not considered mishpacha. So therefore, if somebody's father's a ger and his mother's a bas Yisrael, so we see his maternal relatives are his mishpacha and not his paternal relatives. The question is, under what circumstances? So here we see sort of a contradiction, that under certain circumstances, maternal relatives are considered relatives, and in certain considerations, they're not considered relatives. So Rav Elchanan suggests that the halacha is that if somebody is sold as an eved, the relatives have an obligation to try to redeem him. Says Rav Elchanan that the halacha is that the relatives that have an obligation to redeem him are even maternal relatives. So says Rav Elchanan, that's how we understand this halacha. Since the maternal relatives have an obligation to redeem him, they also have the halacha for gerut, for this halacha that they considered, for this halacha, they are considered gerim. But the Arsam Eich says that it's actually machloikas tanoim, if the mishpacha of gerim, if maternal relatives are considered relatives at all. Our Mishnah says that v'isha espala, a wife, never yarshins a husband. Rabbi Chaim Oizer was asked the question whether somebody who passed away and he left an almana and relatives and all of his money was in the bank. Now, according to the halacha, as we just learned in our Mishnah, his wife is not a relative to be his yorish. However, according to secular law, his wife, if he passed away and he had a wife, his wife is the inheritor, is the heir of all of the money. So the question here was, the relatives, his, I presume, nephews or whatever, were saying that they should be given access to the money because the Torah says they're the Yerusha. The bank manager says, if the almana will give me instruction that all the money should be given to you, I will follow her instructions. But in the absence of receiving such instruction from the woman, I can't give you that money. This woman didn't know what the halacha requires of her, and she asked Rav Shlomo Hyman, who eventually was Rashi of Tarvadas, and she wanted to know, is she obligated to have the bank, is she obligated to let the bank manager pass on the money to her husband's relatives, and she'll be left with nothing. So Rav Shlomo Hyman asked this question to Rav Chaim Oizer. And Chaim Oizer says that how do we look at a bank account? He says that when somebody gives money to the bank, so we think of the money being left in the bank as a bekadin. I'm asking the bank to watch my money. Rav Chaim Oizer said that that's a misunderstanding of the halacha, of the reality. When we put money in the bank, the bank is not expected that they're not going to use that money. The bank uses that money. There's a guarantee that when we need our money, we'll get back our money. But the bank is not watching our money. Our bank is using our money with a guarantee that the money will be given back to us when we ask for it. So says Rav Chaim Oizer, would there be a din of Yerusha? Chaim Oizer says there would be a din of Yerusha if the bank was watching this person's money. And now, when he dies, his Yarshim, as we're learning, we will be learning extensively in our Perek, take ownership of the money. They're not a pekadin. It's a business deal. And therefore, the halacha of Yerusha wouldn't apply. Ask the Gemara, Maishnah Dektani Av Bon Bereisha. So ask the Gemara, why did the Mishnah choose as the first halacha of our Mishnah to speak about a father yarshining a son? Wouldn't it make more sense, Lishni has a bonus aberration? Should we first speak about a son yarshining a father, the chada? And there are good reasons for using such an order. Number one, people pass away. But of course, normally, the way of the world, the way the world should work, is that a son, children outlive their parents. Why would our Mishnah want to begin speaking about the other way around, where parents outlive the father outlives the son? Void, kidiksiv, let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, ish kiyomus, that when does a father yashin a son? If he dies, or ben eloi, if he doesn't have a son, so then his father yashins him. So if we want to follow the order of the Torah, so why don't we follow the order of a son yashining a father, not a father to son? Answers the Gemara, Tana Aida da Asli Midrasha, since this halacha, that the father yashins a son, as we're going to be learning in our shiurim, is something that's not explicit in the Torah, it's learned from Midrasha. So that's why it's chavivale, that's why it's something that's chaviv, and therefore, since it's chaviv, it's something that's really gishmak, it's taught first. So I saw that the Farshim answer, so now we understand the why, so the Gemara began with two questions. One question is, why would we want to start with something that is so upsetting, a son, a father yashining a son? And also, that's not the order of the Torah. So the second question was answered, because it's something that's with a drasha. But the first question that was asked wasn't answered. And that is the question that the Gemara posed about why would the Mishnah start about something which is so sad? That question is not answered. And the question is, so what do we do? What do we do with that question? So I saw the Mefarshim say a beautiful teretz. A son, a father yashining a son is terrible, as the Gemara told us explicitly. And the Gemara is telling us, so how do we prevent such a terrible thing from happening that the father should not have to yashin a son? So says the Gemara, I did the Asile Midrash Chavivalei, learn Torah. And if we learn Torah, that is something that's going to be the best chus to save us from having a situation where the world will see father yashining son. There's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simon Reish Chav Gimel Sif Beis teaches us, Mace of, if somebody's father passes away, Mevarach Baruch Dayan Hamas, Hayin Loi Momin Shiyashay, so we know, a son, when his father passes away, makes a bracha Baruch Dayan Hamas. The halacha continues saying, if the father who passed away was a person who had assets that the son will now inherit, Mevarach Shechiyonu. And the halacha is, if there are a number of brothers, that you make a baruch dayan hamas. But Kivega says, what happens if a son dies, Rachman Slan? And now we're learning, and the Mishnah taught it us, and the Gemara taught us, that the son who dies without children, his father yashins him. And the question is that, do you make a shechiyonu then? Does the father make a dayan hamas in shechiyonu? So Kivega says, based on our Gemara, that a father, the Gemara says, yashining a son is a terrible peronius. And since the father yashining a son is a terrible peronius, that's not an okay. Even though he's going to now have a Yerusha, it's not something that you make a Shechiyonu over. Another point that many Paiskim will ever say, I saw it from the Michzalos and the Mukei Erchayim, I saw it from Moshe Sternbrich and the Shalos of Chuvas, Chuvas and Haggis, that b'zman hazeh, that this minhag doesn't apply, and if somebody's close relative passes away, who he is yashining that close relative, we don't make a shechiyonu. I did see a question, if somebody lost a close relative, and this close relative who passed away was unfortunately very, very, very sick. And he passed away, he was very sick, and he was suffering. And now, he's no longer suffering. Should we make a Shechiyonu? Because the person is no longer suffering, the family is no longer suffering. Of course we make a Dayan Emes. But we just learned in the Shulchan Aruch that under certain circumstances, even at death, you make a Shechiyonu. Is this an occasion for a Shechiyonu? So the Paiskim say that there's never a Shechiyonu for a person who passes away. Yes, we said there is a Shechiyonu for Yerusha. And as we just said, that isn't our minig. Our minig is not that we make a Shechiyonu for Yerusha. But even if we follow the letter of the law, we make a Shechiyonu for Yerusha, because that's something that you're going to be receiving the money. You make a Toiva Meitav if you're going to be sharing the money with the brothers. But every moment of life is extremely valuable. And since every moment of life is extremely valuable, even if somebody who passed away was suffering terribly, it doesn't change that he doesn't have the opportunity to be alive anymore, and therefore we never make a Shechiyonu for that. So says the Gemara, my drasha, based on what drasha do we have the halacha that we just said that a son, that a father yarshins a son? The Tanya, the pasuk says, "V'nesatim s'nachlos l'sheira karvlav m'mishpachtav yarsh osay." So explains the Gemara, sheiroi za'av. The sheira mentioned the pasuk is the father, melamed sha'av koydam l'achim, that the father comes before the brothers in the deceased brothers in yarshining him. Yochel yei koydam ben. Continues the Bryson, maybe a father comes even before somebody's son. Tamaloyma hakarav elov, the pasuk of Nesatas Nesachlosoi, the share karav elov. And we learn from this pasuk, karav, karav, kaidim. The closer the relative, the closer he is in getting Yerusha. And since the son is considered the closest relative of his father, that's why the son gets the Yerusha. Ask the Bryson, my Riesel Rabbis is a ben, lahoitzi sa'ach. What makes us say that the son comes before the father and say then the father comes? So the order is son, father, brother, says the Braisa. Maybe the brother comes first. Answers the Gemara, Marbanis Ben, a son comes first. Shekain kom tachas aviv liyadoi. The halacha is that if somebody bought an Amar Avriya, the halacha is the money that was used to buy the Amar Avriya can be transferred as being the Kesef Kedusha, Kesef Kedushin, with which she becomes his wife. And the Tyran Pashas Mishpatim says, V'im L'bnoi Yodena. And from the Pasuk of L'bnoi Yodena, we learn that the same halacha applies to the father, that the money that was used to buy this Omavriya is the Kesef Kedushin. The same halacha will apply to the son, but not to the brothers. And then there's another halacha, l'stei achuza. The halacha is that if somebody was magdish l'stei achuza, so in the time that yovel is in effect, the halacha is that if the person is redeemed l'stei achuza, it comes back to his family. And the same if his son does it, but not any other relative. So we see from this halacha, again, that there's a special, that the son goes to the father. It's closer than anybody else. That means if somebody else redeemed this field from Hegdish, so then when Yovel comes, the field will not go back to the original person who was Magdashit. It will go to the Kahanim. But if the person who was originally Magdashit is the one that is Paidit, that redeems it, or if not he, his son, it goes back to the family, not to the Kahanim. So we see the special preference that the Torah gives to a son. Ask the Gemara, ask the Braisa, ask the Rabbah, Mabani Sa'ach, I can show you something special about a brother. Shekein kom tachs ochiv li'ibim. If somebody dies without children, the halacha is you have to do yibum. Who does yibum? A brother. So we see the special band of a brother that only brothers could do yibum, says the Gemara. Says the Braisa, that isn't a cogent argument. Klum yesh yibum haba makum sheyin ben. Why is yibum necessary? Because there were no son. Haba makum sheyin ben. If there are son, there's no yibum. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say that that should be a reason that the brother should come, that the brother should go before the son. Says the Gemara, Tama. So now the Gemara is saying, what's the reason why we're saying that a son goes before father, because the argument of Yibum that the Gemara that the Brai suggested has been refuted. So it says the Gemara, only because we have this question. Halav Hachi, if we didn't have this question, then we would still indeed suggest Hava Mina Och Odif, that the brother comes before a son. But as the Gemara typically, the Hachatati Vachachada, we should still have a reason to say that the son comes first. Because when the Gemara was trying to develop and compare who was considered a closer relative, so the Gemara gave two examples what makes a son a closer relative. The halacha of Yiud and the halacha of Pidyon Shtei Achuzah by Yovel. Whereas the brother has only one reason to make him considered closer, the halacha of Yibum. So it's two against one. So why don't we just follow that simple approach, the two against one approach, as the proof that the son comes before the father? Answers the Gemara, Sadeh Achuzah Gufa. The halacha that we explained by the Shtei Achuzah, that we say that the son has the same halacha as the father as far as Shtei Achuzah that was Nigdash, Mahay Tamhu Kokayim Lei Latana. That's the reason why the Gemara says that the son has that halacha and not the father. Klum Yeshibim El Makum Shein Ben, Hayesh Ben Ein Yibim. Says the Gemara, over there, when the Gemara was developing the halacha about Shtei Achuzah, which family member has this ability and which family member does not have that ability, it was refuted based on this halacha. So that means it's really this that the son prevents Yibim before a brother, because a brother is only there because there is no son. So it doesn't turn out that there are two halachas versus one, because the halacha of Haben is the same halacha about Shtei Achuzah, and that's why it's one against one. And because of that, the Gemara had to use the other point that the Yibum explanation is not such a strong explanation that we should be able to use it as a reason why the son comes first. And that's why the Gemara used this explanation that you said that the brother is close because of Yibum, but if there's a son, then the whole Yibum question doesn't come up.